Hello, hello everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is June 2nd, 2015. We have officially reached the middle of the year mark. Woohoo! Anyway, for those of you that are new to Galactic Connection, please check out our daily blog. We do run it 365 days a year, and we do provide you a huge selection of interviews, articles, education, you name it, everything from spirituality to conspiracy to quantum physics and more. So check it out. And we also have a huge array of interviews. Check out our own Galactic Connection YouTube channel. And we've also been really expanding our social media network. If there's a network that you feel that we need to add to our list, please do so. We would really appreciate it. And as always, check out our Galactic Essences, our implant removal series, which has become very world-renowned. And also, we just have a new service called the Spiritual Past Life Clearing, and it's major. So check that out, too. So I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. We don't have a whole lot of time today. I have an on-the-fly interview again with Kevin Annett, and this time we're going to really kind of change things up a bit because we were talking over the weekend and we both realized that this is pretty urgent to get this information out. So we are both asking you to spread this interview far and wide, and there's a reason for it. So I'm going to go ahead and pull him on. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hi, Alexandra. I'm fine.
Good. And how's the weather treating you? Over here in Southern California, it is very overcast.
Well, I don't want to say where I am, but it's nice weather.
Yes. Well, hey, that's good. Step in the right direction.
Yep.
Well, let's go ahead and kind of preface why we're doing this interview, you know, the way we are. This is going to be completely different, folks, because normally, you know, Kevin's really hammering, opening people's eyes to really the dirtiest secret in the closet of humanity, which is, you know, satanic ritual and child sacrificing and actually cannibalistically eating the flesh and blood of humans. But this goes a little bit deeper, and I was so intrigued that I would really like you to just start out, Kevin, with one of your concerns that's going down in September.
Well, the basic concern is that Jorge Bergoglio, colloquially known as Pope Francis, is visiting America. He's been invited by both the Democrats and the Republicans to address a joint session of the Congress on September 24th, which, first of all, raises a flag right there. The 23rd and 24th days of the month are always ritual sacrifice days. A good example of that was last year in the basement of the Jesuit Church of San Lorenzo in Rome. A child was sacrificed in the presence of senior cardinals and a Canadian cabinet minister called Denis Lebel. We had a posting about that at itccs.org. But the fact that Pope Francis is coming to Washington for the very first time to not only address the U.S. Congress, but just prior to that, he's addressing the U.N. General Assembly. We have concern on a number of levels. The first, of course, being is that he's a convicted felon. He's deeply involved in human trafficking, as he was as Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina. From his own priest's testimonies, we know that. We have a civil servant who sat in on meetings where he helped to plan the trafficking of children of political prisoners, along with Jorge Videla, the dictator of Argentina during the Dirty Wars. We also know that he's a participant in the Ninth Circle sacrificial killings in Holland and Belgium, again from two eyewitnesses who were present. But on an even deeper level, we're aware of the fact that there seems to be some kind of energy shift occurring. Like, we know that between Rome, London, and D.C., there's kind of a energetic triangle that's gone on historically. But, you know, there's the fact that Obama and other members of the U.S. government and different politicians of all stripes are all literally kissing this guy's butt and wanting him over indicates something very serious. And we believe that that evening, September 24th. There, in fact, will be a sacrificial ritual in Washington, D.C., involving him and other members of the government. And so that's part of the concern that you know, we wanted to raise today, and asking light workers, you know, to get on board to stop his visit, to keep this man out of America.
And I actually would add something to that, and that is, if anybody that's listening to this could go ahead and just start working on this now, if we can stop this now and go ahead and start the energetic wave, and it's not an if, it is a when. You guys know we are powerful enough when we are united to stop any kind of situation like this. We just haven't been united enough to do it. But now that the light has penetrated the planet in such a way, we have so much protection, we have so much support, and we also have the resources now to really make some of these changes occur. I think this is a great opportunity, Kevin, for the lightworker community and the guardians themselves to really prove to themselves how much power they do have now. So I really want to put a call out there. Now, there's a lot of stuff. There's some really meaty stuff when Kevin and I started talking about this before that I want to throw out there. And the first thing is, everybody knows that there are three corporations that are, basically ruling the planet. And that's the City of London, Washington, D.C., and the Vatican. And the first thing I thought to myself was, okay, well, why Washington, D.C., Kevin? You know, why are they focusing on that now? And when I started digging a little bit, I was really, really surprised to find out that Pope Francis rarely travels. I mean, rarely. I don't even think he traveled at all in the year 2013. And in fact, they said that the prior pope traveled constantly. They were just saying that, he must have traveled all over the world. There was a map that I saw showing that he was very, very, very busy going all over the place. And what the message came in as I was speaking with Kevin was that, so they're actually going to be etherically rebuilding, re-solidifying whatever this new grid is that they're trying to put back in place if it's been destroyed at all. And what do you think about that, Kevin?
Well, I think that that's definitely on the right track, because as you notice, if you look at an aerial photograph of the Vatican, it's shaped right outside the Vatican building. It's shaped with columns from the Colosseum in Rome in kind of a circular formation, and right in the middle of it is like an obelisk. It's got like the male and female symbol all together, but it also looks very much like a keyhole. And the architecture of Washington, D.C., which was actually designed by a Jesuit, and Francis himself is a Jesuit, the first Jesuit pope in history, it also looks like a keyhole. If you look at the Washington Monument, you have the same configuration in London. And all of these obelisks clearly have a lot of significance in terms of literally being an energetic keyhole. And so I think that, you know, we're definitely, have to look at it in that light as well.
Well, and then I was also looking at the grids themselves over the weekend, and one of the things that I went back to, because I had studied up on this long ago, and this one particular website was really going into detail as to that it was a pyramid within a circle, within a couple of double diamonds, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm looking at it through more of like a 3- and 4-dimensional perspective instead of just a 2-dimensional perspective. And I realized that it was an etheric setup like that of the pyramids of Giza. And it had the same angle as some of the shafts that went into the king and queen's quarters, you know, of the pyramid. And I thought, whoa, you know, they're probably going to pull out some sort of major, you know, show, for lack of better terms. This would be the ideal time for them to do something, you know, like when they were playing with the, back up in Sweden. Do you remember that, when they were doing the blue spirals in the sky? Pulling something like that out. And I thought, you know, this is just this is a perfect time. And I think, you know, because of what you've done and a lot of the other people that are really stepping forward and having a lot of courage to expose the things that have been done to him through the Catholic Church, I think they're getting really scared. I also wanted to ask you, isn't it true that one of the reasons Pope Francis is not traveling right now is because of the work that you've done?
Oh, very much. You know, it's the same reason, just for folks who don't know this, in the Common Law Court of Justice we helped set up in 2012 in Brussels, there have been two cases brought before it, and five top Catholic Church officials have all stepped down from office or announced their resignation.
Wow.
After being publicly indicted by our court and the tribunal in Brussels. That's, of course, Pope Benedict. He resigned in the same two-week period that our first verdict came out involving genocide in Canada in the Indian boarding schools. And also Tarcisio Bertone, who was the Secretary of State, also named in the indictment. He resigned just before Pope Francis took over. The head of the Jesuits, Adolfo Pichon, after, in the second case involving global child trafficking, after we had named him, he also announced that he wouldn't be head of the Jesuits after their next Congress. The Cardinal of Ireland, Sean Brady, after he was named in a radio broadcast of having been involved in the ritual killing of children in Chum, Ireland. You remember that big cistern where they found the severed remains of newborns?
Yeah.
And he was directly involved, not only covering up and up, but he had been involved in that. And again, from eyewitnesses and even members of the Gardaí, the Irish police, confirmed that to us. He stepped down. And, you know, it's like the proof is in that. And the fact that Ratzinger is hiding out in the Vatican and resisting extradition, there's a Washington lawyer, Jonathan Levy, who's been trying to extradite the guy. And Bergoglio himself is staying out of the limelight because he knows he's being named publicly as being involved in these Ninth Circle rituals. We know that as early as 1774, every pope was expected to take part in these Ninth Circle killings, ritual killings of either a newborn or a young child. And that's, we've gotten that from archives from the secret Vatican archives. The same fellow actually who released the evidence about that policy, crimen solicitanus, that every priest has to cover up child rape.
Mm-hmm.
Same source released these Jesuit documents showing the existence of this Ninth Circle cult. And Bergoglio is an active member, as was Ratzinger, you know, when he was a member of the Hitler Youth. There was a thing called the Knights of Darkness in the SS that was a kind of a joint Catholic SS satanic cult. And, yeah, I mean, these guys literally have blood on their hands, and they know it. And so, not surprisingly, he's keeping a low profile and putting out the grandfatherly benign image through the, you know, their media that gets everyone fooled, you know, that he's some kind of force for change, when quite the opposite is the case.
Interesting. You know, they're actually saying that, here's a quote from one article. It says, quote, "The other reason why Bergoglio sticks to Rome is because of the needed reforms within the Vatican. He knows he was elected in March of 2013 to clean up the mess there. That's what his mandate is about, first and foremost," unquote. Yeah, right.
No, his mandate is not to clean up, but to cover up.
You're right.
And in fact, after he came in, we found large amounts of money being transferred out of the Vatican Bank into the BRICS Bank. And that's one of the things that, and I think one of the reasons he's been invited to Washington, and the reason Queen Elizabeth and Obama both kind of went to Rome for private consultations with him, is that the Western Bloc is very concerned about that, and they're trying to keep, you know, the Vatican in their geopolitical block against the China-Russia block that's forming in the world and or exists. You know, it's kind of a counterweight to the West now. And I know that that's partly the reason he's coming, but like you say, it goes deeper. It has a lot more sinister implications.
What is your feeling about Bergoglio's supposed attempt to shut down? Now, this is something I came across. Supposedly, he is making some efforts to shut down the Vatican Bank.
Well, the Vatican Bank is insolvent. That's the point. For several years now, and we have this from sources in Rome, including politicians and reporters there, that the Vatican Bank is basically in a state of insolvency. And as long ago as 2006, the Security and Exchange Commission in New York was warning bankers around the world not to have anything to do with the IOR, as it's called, the Institute for Religious Works is its official title. Actually, it's for laundering mafia money and other things, but hardly religious works. But that's one of the reasons that they're looking to join up with the BRICS banks to get themselves out of this insolvency. But again, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, because as with the case of when, you know, now and then there'll be a headline saying Bergoglio says there's a zero tolerance policy now towards child rape in the Catholic Church. In fact, that's all a lie. After he got in, he reaffirmed in a letter to Italian bishops that they were not to tell police when children are harmed. In other words, he's reaffirming the standing policy of crimen solicitanus, that you protect child rapists within the Catholic Church. So, you know, there's his mask he wears for the media and the public, and then there's the reality of what he's doing behind the scenes, and it's to solidify their power and to close all the gaps that were so obvious under Ratzinger, right?
Right. Well, and check this out, folks. You know, Pope John Paul II, who they referred to as the Pilgrim Pope, he made over 104 foreign trips. 104, Kevin. They say here that he traveled 725,000 miles. Now Francis comes in 2013, and he's maybe made, I don't know, I counted maybe 8 trips. Mm-hmm. And well, I just thought that was really surprising.
Well, he doesn't have... The point is that he's got so much dirty laundry that he's really worried about that coming out. And the thing about John Paul II, too, don't forget, is he was closely tied to the Reagan-era CIA bringing down of the Eastern Bloc and the Soviet Union. America didn't diplomatically recognize the Vatican until Ronald Reagan in 1982.
Interesting.
And the only reason they did is because Josef Wojtyla, or Pope John Paul II, a Pole, was one of the conditions of him coming in as Pope, is he wanted the opposition movement in Poland heavily funded with Vatican money, and he was basically a CIA asset, you know, providing a lot of intelligence for them and everything. So a lot of his trips were in league with the U.S. State Department and, you know, their whole efforts to destabilize the Soviet Union and their bloc. And so, you know, that's part of the reason he was doing that so much.
Now, this is just a little interesting tidbit, and because of your knowledge of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, I wanted to run this by you. This says that Francis and Pope John, now get this, the 23rd, are the only popes within the past 80 years who have never traveled to the United States before being elected pope. Now, he was in power from, 1958 to 1963, and ironically enough, died of stomach cancer. Gee, I wonder why that is. Now, he was canonized on April 27th of last year, okay? And it says here that his anti-pope is Baldassare Cossa. And it was John the 23rd, who was from 1410 to 1415. It says the Catholic Church regards him as an anti-pope, as he opposed the Pope whom the Catholic Church now recognizes as the rightful successor of St. Peter. Can you talk to us a little bit? Because I don't really fully understand the Pope anti-Pope thing.
Oh, well, that was just a bit of history. John the 22nd was one of the most debauched popes in history. And he was actually excommunicated by another pope. There was kind of a period where there were two or three popes all contending for power in the 14th century. Mm-hmm. And no pope would take the name John after that until John the 23rd. Now, what's significant about that is that John the 23rd brought in what's called Vatican II, all these reforms. You know, they got rid of the Latin Mass in many places. They kind of wanted to modernize. You know, he put on the same kind of mask Bergoglio is doing now, where they're saying we're going to bring the Catholic Church into the 20th century. In fact, what he did, again, that was a smokescreen. He was the one who reestablished this policy of crimen solicitanus. And it was Joseph Ratzinger, as a priest at the Second Vatican Council in Rome under this John the 23rd, who formulated the policy that all Catholic employees, not just priests, but any Catholic member anywhere in the world, had to cover up child rape. And if you talk about it, you're excommunicated. In other words, you go to hell if you try to protect children and name these priests who would harm them, in their thinking. So again, it's like the reality of what these people are doing, and compared to the public image, and that stomach cancer, from what I've read, from sources again in Italy, is that he was definitely killed as well, because he was taking these reforms a bit too seriously, and the Italian old guard, the curia of Italian bishops, basically had him gotten rid of. And who they brought in after that, Pope Paul VI, Montini, his name was, he's an Italian, he's the one who set up the rat lines that got the Nazis out of Europe after the war.
Wow.
Do you remember all the Nazis they brought to Argentina? Again, Jorge Bergoglio, the Argentine connection. They were bringing a lot of the Nazis to America and South America after the war through what are called these Vatican rat lines out of Dominican monasteries in Italy, where, SS doctors, all of the guys that were, used in Project Paperclip and all these things after the war, they were brought out by this Cardinal Montini, who took over after John the 23rd and negated a lot of these changes that, he and then the guy they killed in 1978 as well for trying to investigate the Vatican Bank.
That's just so crazy. So basically all of this type of cover-up of the child sacrificing was reiterated at that time by
yes.
that Pope.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It goes back to the time of, like I say, the 1700s, probably earlier than that. But child sacrifice, again, it's right symbolically and literally right within the Catholic Mass that consuming the blood of the innocent, whether it be Christ or a newborn child, brings us eternal life. Mm-hmm. And they are literally, it's a child sacrificial cult. In essence,
oh, God.
The Catholic Church.
I mean, for those of us that were brought up Catholic, it just turns my stomach. Anyway, now, do you think there's any significance? I thought this was interesting. This is the quote that was made when they decided to choose Francis, and apparently this was a big shock to the world. And his comment was, quote, "You know that the duty of the conclave was to give a bishop to Rome. It seems that my brother cardinals went almost to the end of the world to get him, but here we are," unquote.
How touching.
I know. I just thought, what does that mean? Now, another really interesting thing about September, because this is all starting to play out, folks, and that is all about Malachi's predictions. And I kind of wanted to talk to you, Kevin, about this. Now, it says that, quote, "In the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will sit Peter the Roman, who will pasture his sheep in many tribulations. And when these things are finished, the city of Seven Hills will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people." The end, unquote. Now, according to a lot of stuff out there, supposedly Pope Francis is now the 112th Pope. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, because when you look at Vatican records, they've left out several people. So the figure 112 isn't accurate. The best example is Pope Joan, the English woman who was a cardinal, who actually was pope for about a year back in the 9th century, and she was killed when they found out she was a woman. And her record was erased from the Vatican archives utterly. Also, remember I mentioned the 14th century. At one point, there was two or three different popes contending for power. They weren't included either. So the figure of 112 is very dubious because it's based on, like with a lot of things, the official record rather than actually what happened. So you have to be a bit careful with some of these. You got to ask, well, where are the sources, with a lot of these things?
Right. Well, and they're saying, one article is saying that Pope Francis cannot be a true pope because he is teaching false non-Catholic doctrine. And so it was very interesting. They were going into this whole thing about how he has no right or authority to be an infallible authority, which, of course, is such a joke anyway, to teach the Catholic doctrines because of the fact that he has become heretical and he is now taking a different position on the Jews and the faith of Judaism. He has made some statements that saints and martyrs there are many saints and martyrs that are not Catholic. He's made comments that the Jews hold a valid covenant with God, that the Muslims are admirable.
What he's doing with all this is it's part of the whole globalist agenda. you know, one world religion, one world government, one world bank. I mean, he's definitely in that kind of thinking. But the funny thing about people talking about Catholic doctrine, it just changes from moment to moment. And, you know, the whole thing, even the notion of infallibility, it was brought in at the First Vatican Council in 1870. When Garibaldi had just deposed the Pope, you know, Garibaldi was the George Washington of Italy. He united the country, deposed the papal states. And until Mussolini established him again, there was no Pope, there was no Vatican. And so in response to Garibaldi's unseating him, Pope Pius IX says, oh yeah, well, I'm infallible. And there wasn't even a majority of cardinals who voted for that. He just declared it. So, I mean, these doctrines, it's all politics, you know, posing as some kind of heavenly order or something.
That's a joke. Well, and what do you think is their slant on this? One article was talking about, they were interviewing Pope Francis, and they were talking about this Malachi prediction, and he said something like, if it's God's will for him to be assassinated, he just asks one favor, quote, please let it not hurt, unquote.
Oh, it's just plucking at the heartstrings, you know. I mean, this is, he's an actor, okay? I mean, he's a Jesuit. Their whole role for 450 years has been to confuse and dissimulate, you know, the truth. And he's very good at that, like any spin doctor. So, I mean, it's not even so much his actions and statements as what's, again, going on behind the scenes. And, you know, it's the Vatican is in a real financial crisis. They are trying to choose sides politically in this whole new kind of bipolar power struggle going on in the world between East and West. You know, and so you got to look at that, and like in anything, you know, follow the money, right?
Right, right. Well, I mean, apparently he's doing a lot of focus on spending time with Palestine and the Jews. There's one article that says that he went and honored the Jews that had been killed in the Holocaust and kissed the hands of the survivors, and this was just a shock to many of the Catholics.
Well, I thought he'd do that because as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he was a good buddy with Jorge Videla, who hated Jews and, in fact, made a point of finding all the Jews he could and imprisoning and killing them during the Dirty Wars. And there's this famous picture of Pope Francis, you know, Jorge Videla with Jorge Bergoglio arm in arm smiling walking down the hall of the presidential palace as his own priests were being tortured and killed, you know, in the slums of Buenos Aires. So, I mean, it's the same old acting going on, right?
God, it's so disgusting. So, now, supposedly he's addressing the joint session of Congress on the 24th, and this is the first time, like you said, that the head of any Roman Catholic Church will address a body, a political body such as that. And I got to thinking, you sent me just the most amazing grid one day. I hope that we can drum that up again. And it showed a very different configuration. Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
No, you better remind me.
It was focused in Europe. And it went all the way, I believe, to London. And I said to you, my God, I've never seen one like this. But what I was talking about was, you know, there's all these underground tunnels.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much more going on underground than above ground. And there's been comments made that there is definitely an underground tunnel between the Vatican and D.C., okay? Like, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on that we're not aware of. So do you believe that one of the other reasons that they are choosing this time is because of maybe the earth changes? Is it because they're getting really scared? You know, it almost feels like they've upped their schedule, Kevin, and I'm just curious what you think.
They're under a lot of pressure. It's hard in terms of knowing all the details, and I don't want to speculate too much about that. You know, when it comes to these characters, I'm open to any possibility since I know on the ground what their crimes look like and how generations of child torture and sacrifice and murder and child trafficking, which the Catholic Church is so actively involved in, I mean, they're capable of anything, but they are definitely in a very defensive stance. That's why, You know, in Sun Tzu, in The Art of War, he says, when an enemy commander continues to offer reassurances to his own people, it means he's losing. He's losing power. And that's why Bergoglio is going all over the planet trying to look like the nice guy. He needs allies right now. And he knows the Arab world is key in as kind of a broker between the two east-west power blocks going on. You know, but in a more basic sense, this man is a known criminal. And for the U.S. government to invite him to come and speak is not only a violation of international law, but the U.S. Constitution that says they shall not favor any particular denomination. That's right in the First Amendment. Well, are they inviting the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem or the head of the World Council of Churches or the Dalai Lama to speak to the Congress?
Good point.
You know, why Bergoglio right now? They really haven't explained that at all.
Good point. Now, what is your take on the fact that there's two popes living at the same time? What do you feel is the undercurrent behind that?
Well, there's a strong belief in political circles in Italy that Ratzinger still is the pope, that he still holds the power. Examples they put forward of that, there's a Milan reporter who I spoke to who said, well, look, Bergoglio doesn't even wear the papal ring. He doesn't live in the Vatican. He lives with a bunch of nuns, which I found interesting, down the road from the Vatican. He wanders around the streets of Rome by himself. Now, no actual pope would be allowed to do that.
No.
And he makes all these statements about Vatican policy that the cardinals then disavow. That's not how popes have ever behaved. So I think there's some credence that legally Ratzinger may still be the pope, and Francis is just, you know, the front guy, the actor, the distractor, if you like.
So basically, this is just really a stage production for our sake.
Have you seen the movie Wag the Dog?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you've got to see it, because it's like basically the president of the United States is caught with an underage girl, so all his PR spin doctors create a war to distract the American public from the scandal so he can get reelected, and sure enough, they do it. And this is exactly what goes on at these levels of power. It's all spin doctoring to make everybody like the Vatican again after its whole public image was so thoroughly trashed by Ratzinger. So, you know, I mean, it's not surprising at all, any of this stuff.
Well, and I noticed that they were really surprised that he took the name Francis after St. Francis of Assisi.
And yeah, it's part of the whole image.
Yeah, it's all part of the image thing. That's really interesting. Now, what are your takes on, you know, his main points of, oh, how should I say, his presentations on what is correct and moral, you know, action within the Catholic community? For example, he talks about abortion. He says, you know, the quote, the Pope must take up the mantle of defending the culture of life, a defense the early church held against the pagans of Rome, unquote.
Oh, my God. Here we are. The Vatican is the chief shareholder in Beretta, which is the largest small arms manufacturer in the world. They have major shareholders in the arms industry, and they're talking about pro-life. I mean, this is hilarious, but he's saying what people need to hear. It really doesn't matter what he says. People now want, especially many Catholics, 90% of whom support birth control, they need to see a progressive liberal pope right now, so he's what's required to keep the flock in line. And everything he says has to be seen in that light.
Interesting. Now, you did say that because this is such a stage production, that the whole thing about the money is being diverted into another country. I thought it was surprising, you know, because he's become so strong in his conviction about criticizing the IMF. So have you heard anything else as far as where the money has landed? And, it, you know, do you think, just from your sources, do you think that they will get to a point where they'll literally say, oh, you know what, this was just so corrupt, we're going to go ahead and close the Vatican Bank, and even though it's probably still going to operate, right?
Well, check out a few months ago, there was a thing, it's not really prominent in the media anymore, but Vladimir Putin and the Chinese premier and some people from India had a big press conference in Malaysia, and they announced the kind of Eastern version of the IMF, the Inter-Asian Investment Bank, and it's kind of the counterweight to the IMF. So naturally, for Bergoglio to criticize the IMF, that's an indication of, you know, where he's leaning in the world and how their money is. They're not so much funding BRICS as they're hoping BRICS will bail them out. But Bergoglio, like any good Jesuit, is playing both sides. In any war, in any revolution, the Jesuits have always done that, and that they're adept in doing that diplomatically. So he's just doing what they've always done, just kind of on a bigger stage now.
That's really interesting. I had to read this to you, Kevin. I know it's just going to disgust you. It says, on a similar note, the Cardinal has addressed sex trafficking, a grave crime that normally targets the young and vulnerable. Quote, now this is the quote. In our city, there are people committing human sacrifice, killing the dignity of these men and these women, these girls and boys, that are submitted to this treatment, to slavery. We cannot remain calm. The Cardinal urged his fellow citizens to report breeding grounds for submission for slavery, altars where human sacrifices are offered and which break the will of the people, asking that everyone do what they can, but without washing their hands of it, because otherwise we are complicit in this slavery, unquote.
Well, they are complicit. They do it all the time. When was that quote, the date of that quote? Do you mind telling me?
Let me see. It does not say that.
Well, it was recently this year, probably, because...
It's referring to 2007, actually.
Okay, but here's the thing, Alexandra. No one in the Vatican has made reference up until now of child sacrifices. Bergoglio himself, in reference to child abuse, referred to it as being like satanic rituals. That's new, and that's in response to the fact that we've exposed all these things, and they have to get out in front of the issue, like any spin doctor, and make it seem like they're actually opposed to this stuff when they're a chief actor in it. Like I said, the Church of San Lorenzo, literally half a mile from the Vatican, the main Jesuit church in Rome, is where these rituals go on a routine basis at certain times of the year. And, you know, I mean, it's just so gross. And the hypocrisy is in the world. I don't have a word for it, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, the reason I read that is because I really believe that these are the quotations that are going to totally bite them in the butt. I mean, they're going to really have to eat crow. You know?
Well, if they're forced to. I mean, I guess the question is, who's going to force them? And even though they're the richest institution on the planet, they're extremely vulnerable, which is why they're doing this thing. And we find, like, the work we do, all we have to do is stand outside a Catholic church and start handing this stuff out to people, and the priests and the local bishops start freaking.
Yeah.
And they start issuing statements to the media. They are so easy to provoke, and that's why, you know, these kind of grassroots actions, even by a handful of people, get these kind of reactions from the Vatican.
It's so awesome. Now, you know, to go back a little bit, Kevin, let's go back to the three cities. You know, you've got the City of London, the District of Columbia, and the Vatican itself. I want to remind people that they control the politicians. Just these three cities, folks, okay? They control the politicians, the courts, the educational systems, the food supply, the natural resources, the foreign policies, the economies, the media, and the money flow. Okay? They own 80% of the world's wealth. That's why this is a big deal. We can stop this. Okay? Because their aim is to control us. Their aim is to prevent us from going through our own birthright of ascending and evolving our souls to a higher state of consciousness. And they're doing that, whether we like it or not, through the food and the water and the air that we breathe. And you brought up a very interesting point, which was the keyhole in the Vatican. And I found something about the obelisks. Now, the London obelisk is also known as Cleopatra's Needle. Mm-hmm. And now, did you see this part? It says, the obelisk originally stood in the Egyptian city of On, or Heliopolis. And it says, the Knights Templars' land extended to this area where they had their own docks. Each side of the obelisk is surrounded by a sphinx, more symbolism dating back to the ancient world. Then you have an obelisk as the Washington Monument, dedicated, of course, to George Washington and the secret Brotherhood of the Freemasons. There is an underlying pattern here, is my whole point, of something that is afoot regarding this. And I'm just curious, did you have any other ideas? I know when we were talking on the phone, we both kind of got a hit that I really do believe what they're doing is they're going to, number one, I think there will be a new sort of mind control program over the politicians.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand their technology, and I'm sure, you know, you don't either. But
When we were talking, we made reference to the fact that America is where a lot of this change is occurring, and they want to get a clamp on that, like in England. And so I think that that's one of the reasons. My father was quoting the latest Time magazine coverage of Bergoglio's visit, and it's nauseating. Every politician is lining up praising this guy, including progressives like Bernie Sanders, you know, who's very critical of multinational corporate funding of the government, and that there he is praising Bergoglio. I mean, it's like you say, they are all on the payroll. We know that from Italy. Every political party is funded out of the Vatican Bank, and it's the same in America. You know, 7 of the 9 justices on the Supreme Court are Catholic.
Wow.
How does that happen? You know, it's like, and this attempt to put a new kind of lid over what's really developing in America. Because don't forget, America was the first country in the world ever to say that men and women are sovereign, self-governing beings, not under a pope, not under a king, only under God. We are equal sovereigns. That's how John Adams put it. John Adams also said the biggest threats to America are the Freemasons and the Jesuits. Mm. Well, here he is, Jesuit Pope coming to address Congress, you know.
Wow.
You know, it's that simple, really.
Yeah, and I just remember Simon Park saying to me in an interview a while ago, he says, everybody's eyes are on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is watching what is going to occur within the United States. And many refer to it as the New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will unfold here.
I believe that, and now it's the time, like we mentioned early on in the show, for light workers and the people in our movement, we all have to join hands now, you know, to stop this visit, to stop this influence from spreading over America, you know, and our people.
I agree, and I, for one, folks, you know me, I'm not super big on a mass meditation because I've just been convinced by many how they use that energy. It's unfortunate, but they do end up harvesting that energy for not such good causes. And in many cases, they divert the energies that we're putting out into wars and other frictions on the planet. So I highly, highly recommend that each and every one of us does whatever we can do. And we can do it on the inner plane. We can just put out the intention that we work together on the inner plane to make this happen. I really believe that this is very, very important. So the dates are, Kevin, what, the September 23rd through the 26th?
Well, he's coming to the UN. He hasn't given an exact date, but it'll be a few days before the 24th. I believe that's a Thursday. September 24th is when he's speaking to Congress. And before that, he'll be in New York at the UN. So, again, we're going to have a presence there publicly, but it's kind of like when I first did that exorcism in Rome. They are very, I mean, they're really an illusion. When I was standing there outside the Vatican, I had a sense, an inner sense, that there was nothing there. That literally it's some kind of holographic projection. It doesn't have substance. It just operates through this kind of mind control and smoke and mirrors. So I think the best weapon we have is just to stand outside of its illusion and to just tell it to go away, because literally that seems to have an impact.
Yes.
It's a Wednesday. Oh, I'm sorry. September is a Thursday. Thursday, September 24th of this year.
September 24th. Okay, and the United Nations visit is the day before, which is the 23rd.
Either the day or the 2 days before, something in that period.
I haven't been able to find anything super specific, but I know they deliberately do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, September 23rd, 24th is a prime day in the month where people are killed, where are ritually sacrificed. I can give you the list of 10 or 12 people who were killed on that day, including people here in Canada. And that's one other thing I did want to mention before, you know, we end the interview, the whole situation recently in Canada, when we have a moment.
Oh, we'll get there in just a few seconds. The only other thing that I really wanted to run by you and maybe you could expound upon is the whole thing about Peter the Rock, because that ties in with a lot of the press coverage that Pope Francis is getting. Can you talk a little bit about it, you know, where it says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the Hades will not prevail against you?
Right, well, it's interesting, because that one word is what really exposes things. In the original Greek, it says, this is the rock upon which I will build my ecclesia, which means congregation. It doesn't mean church. It means like an assembly of gathered disciples. It doesn't mean church as an institution. In fact, that's when William Tyndale translated the Geneva Bible, he translated it to say congregation, not church, and that's what got him burned at the stake, because they're saying there is no basis for the church as an institution. It's simply people gathered, you know, in memory of Christ and his spirit. That's a very different notion. So that whole church-created legend that Peter was somehow made the first pope, it's nonsense. There's no basis for any of that, including in the Bible, starting in the Bible. For them to even invoke that, it's like when they invoke what's called the Donation of Constantine, where they say, well, Constantine wrote this document before he died, the Emperor Constantine, and it bequeathed all of the property and authority of the Roman Empire to the Catholic Church. Well, it turns out even Vatican scholars admit that this document was actually written 700 years after Constantine by Vatican lawyers to legitimate the fact that, you know, they owned the world and could give it to anybody. You know, they gave North America to Spain and Asia to Portugal, all this nonsense, from fraudulent documents. And this stuff about Peter being the rock is really part of that same whole way to reinvent history to legitimate their authority. And I think it's all more of that same stuff.
They must have really gone out of their way, Kevin, to try to find somebody that could play this role, you know, because it talks about how his original name is Pietro Parolin. And he was from Italy. And so it's almost as if they had to find someone to fit that role, you know, because they'd already put that out there.
Right. Well, I mean, they've got thousands of years of experience in deceiving people. And I mean, they're the biggest criminal syndicate on the planet. That's when I was in Rome, I was in 2009 for the first time. We gave a presentation about the Canadian genocide to a group of Italian politicians, including a senior senator in the Democratic Alliance and one of the parties there. And he took me aside and he said, what you have to understand is that the Vatican and the government and the mafia are all the same people. They wear different hats and they have one concern, their money.
Yeah, no
kidding.
And
that's a senior politician telling me that.
No kidding. Well, and the other thing that I want the light workers to really focus on is this nasty grid. Now, a lot of you know that there are a lot of different shapes and sizes of grids that they've created, but I found an interesting article about the way the grid works, and it was talking about how it's made up of hyperdimensional black hole wormholes, that it contains a lot of amoeba-like entities, and that these entities are sent in through the grid technologically. Now, you know, we don't really have the capacity to fully understand this kind of technology because it's off-world. But it is being used against the light beings, and it's also being used against everybody on the planet as far as being able to manipulate the way that they think, the way that they react, the emotions that they're going to feel. And so I really feel strongly, I've been called today, as has Kevin, to remind all of us that this grid needs to come down and we can do it. We can focus on it. You know, they say that it's a very advanced technology that uses strong electromagnetic fields. And it supposedly distorts the space-time structure. They're saying that it's works within a program of an etheric mainframe computer system and directs the flow of energies worldwide that controls all of us. Now, why do I say this? Because I really do believe that this visit to the United States is something where they are energetically going to kick this up a notch, because they are getting desperate, like Kevin said. And they're needing to either recalibrate, maybe reprogram, or what have you. We can prevent this from happening. I feel that this is really one of the final things that needs to go down in order for us to finally feel our own freedoms, Kevin.
Exactly.
So I call all of you today to just start working on this now. Let's not wait till September. Let's just start doing it now. If you get a hit, you know, throughout the week that you can energetically start working on this, please do. I also ask all of you to please send me in any emails regarding whatever you're getting intuitively, clairvoyantly, any messages, so I can pass them on and share them with the world. Because I think this is without a doubt one of the most important projects we could be doing right now. So is there anything else, Kevin, regarding that? Or we'll, if not, we'll move on to what you wanted to talk about.
No, I think you summed it up brilliantly, and I just really hope that people will get on board with us over the next number of months to, you know, to stop this visit from happening.
Yeah, and, you know, grids, you know, Kevin, grids are kind of a nebulous type of thing with people. They don't really fully understand them. It's very important for all of us to recognize that every city around the world has a grid. And these grid structures are formed by the etheric of all of our souls kind of interlocking. And the grids form around the combined energies of that city. They also form around the way that the city set up. And here's the biggie, guys, the karma of the collective of all the souls within the city. So remember how much bloodshed has gone down around Washington, D.C. Okay? Remember how much war and bloodshed has occurred. And of course, you know, the dark love to use that in their ceremonies and in their way to entrench and also anchor their own grids. So if we can do any clearing of that and the collective karma of the people in that area, please do. If you live in that area, I once again ask you to try to take some time to go through that area very, very thoroughly and clear as much as you can. You know, you don't have to physically do it, but I've done that, and it's very, very powerful. So go ahead and, Kevin, share with us, you know, what's happening in Canada, because I know there's lots of new things going on.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to add a PS to what you said on right then. Another way to describe, you know, traditionally people talked about angels, and if you look in the later in the New Testament, when Paul is writing to the different churches, early churches in Asia Minor, he doesn't write to the people in the churches. He writes to the angel of the church of Cappadocia, the angel of the church of wherever, right? So he's addressing what you're talking about, this higher soul, this of every town, of every community of people that have this higher thing, and he addresses it. And that's what we have to do. We have to address that higher, whatever we want to call it, grid, angel, higher mind. Because when we did that in Rome, it definitely had an effect. And so anyway, I just wanted to
Thank you for that. Yeah, because basically, you know, these grids, and as Kevin's saying, the angels, from their terminology, don't misunderstand me, folks, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, they act as a veil. Okay, because if they get really, really mucked up with a lot of, you know, sadness and sorrow and, you know, decimation of spirit, which, of course, there's so much of that around the world, you can see how that's going to greatly impact all of those who live in that area as well as the world itself. So it's very important for us at this time, any clearing that we can do and anything that we can do to block their perpetuation of additional grids, additional programming, we got to do this, folks. Okay? So, anyway, Kevin's got some exciting news as far as what's happening, and I keep interrupting you, but go ahead, Kevin.
No, it's good. for people in Canada listening to this, this next week there's a major spin coming out of the government where this thing called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was set up by the government and the churches to hide their genocide of the Indian children in these residential schools, they're coming out with their, quote, final report. And in the news the other day, the head of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice in Canada, Beverly McLaughlin, said, quote, yes, cultural genocide did occur in Canada. That term, you know, the adjective cultural is a way to kind of to dilute the reality of what they're saying. And in fact, she's lying, because it wasn't just cultural genocide. It was mass murder, as we've documented, right, at itccs.org. But the fact that they would go that far to say that is more of what we're talking about, in that the system here in Canada is especially vulnerable, because they're at the point now where they have to admit their crime, but they don't really see that there's a consequence that comes out of that, in that it plays right into what we've been saying all along, in that when the government admits to a crime, and under international law, states, there's a thing called the International Convention on Genocide that Canada ratified. The U.S. has never ratified it, of course, but Canada ratified it in 1952, and they were obligated under international law to, quote, prosecute and punish genocide. Well, here, no one's ever been punished or prosecuted in Canada for genocide, and yet they're acknowledging it happened. What they're opening themselves up to now is their complete collapse, because when a regime is that murderous, and they're admitting it, and yet they're not doing anything about it, the citizens are freed from any allegiance to them. Under international law, it says, if you're a member of that kind of country, you cannot pay taxes, you cannot support the regime, you can put them on trial, and that's in fact what we've been doing. People know about the Republic of Kanata that was declared last January. In London, Ontario, one of our groups is actually performing citizen arrests on some of the Anglican bishops who have been covering up these crimes. We had a lot of this talked about on our show Radio Free Kanata, which is every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And I just wanted to tell people that in the weeks ahead, there are going to be a lot of these actions by members of the Republic to actually stop these criminals. We know that the Harper government in Canada, one of his own cabinet ministers, Denis Lebel, is a member of the Ninth Circle killing. We talked about this earlier, yeah, where he was present in Rome on February 24th. There's the right. 24th day of the month, right, where they sacrificed a child. The Harper government is...
Oops. Kevin, are you there?
So I just urge everyone to follow all of these developments at our weekly radio program, Radio Free Kanata, which is every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern, at bbsradio.com/Radio Free Kanata, and that's K-A-N-A-T-A. And our website is kanatarepublic.ca.
Perfect. Well, and I, you know, it's funny, Kevin, because when you and I did that last interview, I really didn't want to do that from the standpoint of just having to look at such tragedy and, you know, reading the testimonials, and it was very, very upsetting. And most people today are basically saying, listen, I don't want to focus on any of the conspiratorial stuff anymore. I want to focus on, you know, my present and my future, what can I do to create the new earth, right?
Right.
And yep. So I had some misgivings, but I was told to do it. I followed my guidance. And look what came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And don't forget, it's like light and shadow. They're all part of the same thing. And that it's looking at these things which allows us to take the next step. And very much a lot of our work now, my own energy, is going towards creating these alternatives, creating our own common law courts, taking back the country, taking back these, you know, systems, and making them ones that serve the light and serve the people. So, it's definitely, we're on the same track here. We can't at the same time ignore the fact that these crimes are still going on, and historically, you know, have come from all the, you know, really out of Rome originally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is there anything else going on with, you know, the whole Republic of Kanata situation? Is that really progressing well?
It is. We have more people. It's now over 2,500 people who've taken the Oath of Allegiance. There's
fantastic.
People, especially in central Canada, in Ontario and Quebec, who are getting on board with this. There's a whole French language section that's starting up, and again, CanadaRepublic.ca, people can follow kind of the basic work there and on our radio show. But I think it's important that what we're learning is that it's the power people have when they take local action and not wait for some organization or some other source to come in and show them how to do it. People are learning, how to just from their own experience, and that's so valuable.
Well, I just want to thank the Canadians. I mean, right on that they've started this movement, and it's literally spreading across the world, and they're just, showing us and being a representation of what we're going to be doing in the future. And, the main thing that we should all be waking up in the morning with is we are just another day closer to really, truly experiencing freedom for the very first time in this reality. It's getting closer and closer because of all of you and the work that you've done. And I honor all of you for just really hunkering down and going through the difficulties. I get enough emails to know, and I know what I go through. So I just want to thank all of you for the hard work that you're doing. And Kevin, of course, you as well, just the immense amount of energy and dedication that you have shown. We could not have the response that we have had now without you putting yourself on the line. And so I know so many people really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, and we'll carry it on.
So if you can continue to support Kevin with his work, please visit his website at itccs.org. And of course, you can always visit me at galacticconnection.com/daily-blog. And we will see you next week, same time, same channel, same zone, whatever that zone is, right, Kevin? Like the galactic zone. And so anyway, take care, Kevin. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all you're doing and the information you're bringing forward. If you get any other hot intel, let me know.
I sure will, Alexander. We'll talk soon.
You too. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We will talk to you next week. Take care, everyone. Lots of love. Bye.